Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Think Outside the Blue Box. I'm Anthony Rivera. I'm the lead videographer and editor here at Blue Box Digital, and welcome to the podcast. This is a podcast about creative journeys, just creative people, the entrepreneurs, the hustlers, the people that are out there, you know, following their dreams in hopes to help you follow your dreams. And today we're joined by a super creative guy here in the Tampa Bay area, Mr. Alonzo Fury. You got a standing ovation, bro.
Oh, man.
Thanks for joining me, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. How was it that we met, man? It was through another one of my guests, right?
Yeah, my little bro, Spanderman. Shout out to Spanderman. Yeah.
Dude, he's so psyched about his interview, man.
Yeah.
It's not live yet, but it will be by the time this one hits. So.
Yeah, you want to know what's crazy? He's even more psyched for me. He's like, yo, Big Bro, I can't wait to see how you share. I'm like, I got you, bro.
Is he watching live?
He's at work right now.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. He's going to miss out.
Yeah. He'll see it eventually.
Yeah, he'll see it when it comes out. So cool, man. Tell me a little bit about you. How did you end up in Tampa? Are you originally from Tampa?
No, I'm actually originally from Chicago. I was born in Chicago. When I was like 8 years old, I moved to Louisiana for like a year.
Chi-town.
Okay. Yeah. And then when I was like 9, I moved to New York. And then I just grew up between the Bronx and the Chicago ever since then.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And what kind of brought you to Florida?
Job opportunity. My job let me transfer here, and I was like, fuck it, I want to experience some sun, some palm trees. And yeah, I wanted my daughters to have a different experience.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So your daughter lives here?
They're back and forth.
Oh, okay.
You know how that goes.
Gotcha. Yeah. So why Tampa? Why Tampa specifically? Just
to be honest with you, when I got that transfer, I wanted to get my foot in the door.
Yeah.
And then once I get out here, see what it's like, then I can maneuver and figure out where I like it best.
Yeah.
So far, I only like Tampa.
Yeah.
I don't want to go anywhere else.
Yeah, there's a place to be, man. You ended up in the right spot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So how did you, you're a musician, right?
Yeah.
What kind of genre do you dabble in?
So I do hip-hop / like the melodic hip-hop, and I also produce my own beats. And I also have a production partner. His name is Shaw Major. So we actually working on an album together that's coming out real soon.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be called Major Fury. Because, you know, Fury, my last name, Major, his first name, you know, we just put
that's
it together.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
It's a collab project.
Yeah. It's like a collab on the production side, but it's just going to be me and anybody that I decide to feature on my album.
Okay. But yeah. When's that coming out?
Hopefully by the summertime.
Summertime.
I'm a perfectionist, okay. So like.
I was just going to ask you about that. I know you mentioned you're a perfectionist, so you haven't released anything yet. But
no, I haven't dropped anything in 5 years, man. But it's crazy because the anticipation that I got for my projects, it's as if I've been putting out music this whole time. So
yeah.
It's a gift and a curse, but it's more towards a gift than it is a curse, if that makes sense.
Yeah. How different is your music now than it was 5 years ago?
Whew, way different. Like I can sing now. Like if my five years ago, if he was to take a trip to the future and hear the music that I'm doing now, he would be like, yo, I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy, man. And then I just, you know, I leveled up with the beat making. I leveled up with my voice because my voice was a little squeaky 5 years ago. So, you know, I had to work on my delivery and just my lyrics and my storytelling and stuff like that. So yeah, now when people hear me, they get a different reaction. It's like it goes straight to here, you know.
Nice.
Whereas before, it was like, okay, you're nice, but maybe you could work on this and work on that. But now I don't really hear that.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, that's cool, man. I'm glad that you're almost releasing something, man. You're on the verge here.
Yeah, and it was, to be honest with you, also, it was me moving to Florida that kind of, I want to say, enhance my sound, because since I've been out here, I've been going through a whole lot of shit, and then it's just like now people can actually hear it through the music. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm making this music as I'm going through it, so I guess that's why it sounds authentic. But you know,
it resonates with people more, man.
Yeah,
when it's authentic.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's crazy.
That's wild, man. I know you had a sort of an experience recently.
Yeah, man. I had a near-death
experience. Happened,
I was driving. I work so much, I get sleepy behind the wheel sometimes. So what happened was I was driving. Actually, it's funny. Me and Span had just came from the studio. I dropped him off. And I'm trying to... I decided to drive to work because work was like 15 minutes away as opposed to my crib, which was 30 minutes away.
Okay.
And then I'm driving and then suddenly I feel like a relaxation. And then it just goes dark. And then I get woken up like by a big boom. And then I'm just like, oh shit. Like I'm like, damn. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
What just happened?
Yeah, man. And then I didn't even think to get out and check my car. I just drove around the corner to the next little area and just... When I got out of my car, I was like, oh, shit. So they said my car was nearly totaled. So it was a blessing. I came out unharmed. Yeah. I was just shaken up, you know, but it was a blessing. I'm blessed to be here.
That's lucky, man. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you made it today.
Yeah, me too, man.
Wow, that's wild, man.
Yeah,
near death experience. I'm sure that's going to come out in one of your songs.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. It is.
That's something to write about.
I'm gonna put the whole story in a song. I already got the idea and everything. I'm gonna do a video for it too. Try to reenact it as best as I can.
Yeah.
And yeah, man.
Yeah. I've been in a few car accidents, but never like that, bro. Like when you sent me that picture, I was like, wow, how is he still alive? Like wow.
Yeah, it was.
How's that not totaled? That's crazy.
Yeah, but the front wheel is messed up, so now I can't even drive it. Like I curse, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I can't even freaking drive that shit. So, you know,
damn.
I think it was just God's way of saying, listen, you need to
stay here and
slow down for a minute. You got to slow down for a minute. This is where I need you to be. Get yourself together, and then we're going to take it from there. So that's how I'm trying to take it. I'm still a little angry about it, but. You know, in due time, I'll see the lesson in the whole situation, you know, so.
And it is a lesson, man.
Yeah, so. Man, it's all good. That was my fault.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is a lesson, man. And it's good that you're looking at it that way, too, man, because sometimes it's like, you know, you get all caught up in your emotions and you know that it's a lesson. You just can't see it right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. I feel like that this whole Florida experience has just been one big lesson. Like,
yeah.
But what I will say, if you would take the version of myself that just moved here and place him in my current shoes, he would probably have a meltdown. So I will say it made me stronger because now I can deal with the things that's coming my way. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, it's
tough, bro.
It's tough. Yeah.
It's tough, man. So what inspires you, man? What do you draw from? I know you kind of sound like a little bit like Jay-Z.
Everybody says that. It's weird because people, when I put out my very first song, like I started music when I was 22 or 23 when my daughter was first born. Mm-hmm. Like first song, first lyrics, all of that. And they were saying that back then. And I'm like, I'm not trying to sound like the guy. I don't even listen to him. But
yeah.
I mean, what inspires me is basically my kids. My family, my mom's, my brother, of course, like my other siblings as well. And just, you know, everything that I've been through, all the pain that I've been through, the hurt, that's pretty much what my music is about, everything that I've been through. Like, I don't really make turn up music, though I can because it's real easy. But I rather just, you know, relate to the everyday listener, if that makes sense, the everyday person that's going through something. And like,
because, you know, everybody's going through something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when you in a bad mood and you turn on that song that kind of gets you through it. My motivation is being that for people.
For someone,
you know what I'm saying? For someone. You know what I'm saying? Because I know out there that there's somebody that's going through what I'm currently going through or what I went through already. You know what I'm saying? So I really just want to relate to everybody, you know.
A lot of people resonate with people's music on an emotional level, you know, because everybody is going through something and it's like, okay, that guy's going through it too. So I'm not alone. You know, it's the communal aspect of music that I love, man.
Yeah. And then when you hear that one song that is like, oh shit, that's my life. Like, that's like the best thing right there. Cause it's like, all right, somebody gets it. Somebody finally gets it. I'm not screaming and nobody's hearing. Somebody understands, you know what I'm saying? So that's definitely a motivational factor.
Have you had that? Have you had like people reach out to you and say, hey, bro, like this song?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But since I haven't put anything out for 5 years, they always inbox me about the album that came out 5 years ago. Because I have like, I have 3 motivational skits on it. That's like, it's basically me. The whole concept of the album is called The Art of Survival. The whole concept of that album was, in the skits, I'm basically just saying motivational speeches. But then towards the end of the album, at the end, I say, I know you better than you know yourself. Do you want to know why? Because I am you. So the concept of the album was my future self going back into the past and coaching myself through life to this point right here. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
And then I'm gonna work on part 2, but I don't know if I'm going to have the skits in it. I just have to, you know, see where the creative process take me.
Yeah, just whatever comes out, man. Yeah. It's got to be natural.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Is that coming soon?
Yeah, is that part 2 is called The Art of Survival, the FL tape, which is the Florida story. Mm-hmm. But it's also failures and losses, because when I came out here, that's all I really experienced was failures after loss after failures after loss. And it's just like, bruh, can I get a break?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, yeah, man. So, and I've experienced things that I never experienced before from different people not being there for me, that who I've been there for, to people turning their back on me, people switching up that I would never even think, you know what I'm saying? But they do say that when you're at your lowest, you know, that's when you can see everybody's true colors. That's when you can see who's really there for you, who's really in your corner, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah, I needed this, though.
Yeah.
I needed it.
It's tough to go through it, man. I know I've gone through similar things where it's like, it kind of brings out the truth in people.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It brings out the
real. But you know what? But sometimes, like, you don't be ready, because it's just like, no, not you.
It,
like, you of all people.
Guard, yeah. It's like you would least expect this person to stab you in the back or to turn their back on you. Yeah.
Yeah. Or to just stand around and watch you. Like, I had friends that, like, I done pulled them up from drowning, and then they see me doing this, and they're just like, come on, bro, you can do it.
You
just get up
it.
Here. You'll be all right. Like, you got this. Like, I hate that fucking statement. I hate it, because that just, when you tell a person you got this, that just means, like, you're on your own, and when you figure it out, I'll be at the top waiting for you, or I'll come along with you at the top. I don't feel like doing no work. I don't want to help. I don't want to be there for you. That's too much work. I got my own problems. You know, it's a selfish statement. So, like, anybody that's watching this, just stop using that phrase, you got this. Like, say more of, how can I help you get through this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what can I do to get you out of this dark space? You know what I'm saying? Like,
but at least now you know.
Yeah, I know.
The real people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it always comes back to family too, man. I know you're a big family guy.
Yeah, man. I ain't even gonna say it. But no. Just the people that created you are not always for you. That's all I'm gonna say.
Ooh, I like that.
That's all I can say. But you know what? It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just makes you stronger, and it makes you be a better version of them for your kids and for your kids' kids. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, you can break the cycle.
Yep. I feel like I definitely broke the cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you want to know what's crazy? It also gets to a point where you could try so hard to not be like somebody that you end up being just like them. Just like them. You know what I'm saying? So, like, sometimes I got to catch myself and, you know, just, you know, look at myself and, you know, check myself and then continue to move forward. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. Oh, that's too funny. Yeah, I've had similar experiences with the my parents.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, they mean well most of the time. But
I hope so. I definitely hope so.
Well, I don't know the whole story, so I don't know.
Yeah, you're gonna hear it. Yeah. You're gonna hear it soon. Definitely, you're gonna hear it very soon. Very soon. Nothing disrespectful though, family. So
yeah.
But yeah,
I know I had some negative feedback when I first started this and decided to quit my job to do this full time, and it was the most negative comments from the people closest to you. It's like, what are you doing? Instead of being supportive, like, yeah, how can I help you? Let you know.
Right.
No, it was the opposite. It's like, yeah, you're gonna fail and you're gonna go back and you're gonna learn your lesson and. It's like, nah, bro. That's right.
But you want to know what it is too? What I realized is your parents, your family, anybody that's close to you, sometimes they can see everything in you that they wish they had in theyself. So
that's so true.
They will tell you things like, yo, what are you doing? You should just do this. Like, no, maybe you should do that and I go over here and follow my dreams. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't try to steer me towards mediocrity. I think that's the word, mediocrity. Yeah. If like, just because you're afraid to take a risk and you're afraid to just bump your head a couple of times before you figure it out, don't try to make me afraid of it too. You know what I'm saying? Let me get out there, jump into the fire and figure out how to hose it down. You know what I'm saying? Like, or figure out how to build my own heat to withstand the fire that's around me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I found that people project their fears onto you.
Yes.
And it, just because they were afraid to take that leap, they're going to try to talk you out of you taking yours. You
know? Now, what I will say, some people do mean well. Some people legitimately don't want to see you fail. But most of the times, that's not the case. Most of the time, it's like, and it could be subconsciously too. Sometimes they don't realize it. They could just be like, oh, I think he's going to be bigger than me. I think he might get with that without my reach. Like, let me try to keep him close. Let me try to keep him here.
Try to pull him back.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's hard to see who those are because they secretly do it behind your back. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you notice it, you call them out and it's like, now there's beef. Now there's, you know, friction between the two of you. And yeah, it's wild, man.
It's crazy.
It's wild. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, you, you can't fake results. So.
Facts. Yeah, that's what I might put that on my Facebook later.
you can't fake results. So you prove yourself, you know, it's you literally prove them wrong.
Yeah. And that's the best feeling ever. It's like,
oh, God, I love it.
Like, people, even with the whole Florida move, people just did not think that I would last this long. Like, everybody thought I was just going to run back to New York.
Back, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, you'll come back. Like, even my mom, I love my mom, but she every day she's like, baby, just come back to New York. And I'm like, Ma, no. Like, no,
because she wants you there.
Yeah, I know. She not used to. This is my first time being away from everybody, like everything that I've ever known. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my first time away from that. So I have no safety net out here. It's just, if I get into some shit, I got to figure it out on my own. So that's the first time. And she's seeing me go through this and she's seeing how it's affecting me. So it's really hard on her. But, you know, we're gonna hold it down.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Once you make it, man, you'll be able to go back and be like, look, Ma.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to, and she's getting older too, so I'm really trying to like make this shit. It's a lot of pressure on me because she's getting older, and you know, as you obviously as you get older, life is getting shorter. So it's like a lot of pressure on me to get her to a space where she could finally enjoy life, because she spent life she spent her whole life taking care of me and my little brother. You know what I'm saying? She ain't never really get to enjoy life. She ain't never really been on vacations. She never did anything that she wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? So that's like a big pressure on my shoulders as well. Like,
it's a big sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Like, sacrifice her life for you, kind of, for you guys.
And I didn't see that like younger. I thought, you know, I used to always be against her. But now that I'm grown and I'm trying to do the same thing for my kids, it's like, oh, I get it now. Yeah. Like, I get it. You the MVP, mama. You got it.
Yeah. She's always back here, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll tell my kids something and it's like, that was my mom right there. Like, that that sounds like something my mom or my dad would do, you know?
Yeah, my daughter said that to me yesterday. I had got on her about something in school, and then she was like, Daddy, you're scaring me. And I'm like, why? And she was like, you sound a lot like grandma.
You sound just like grandma.
I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm getting old, man.
It's like you were saying earlier, it doesn't matter how hard you try, you still end up just like your parents, man.
Right. It's crazy, man. But hopefully I could take just the, you know, the good aspects of them and level up from there. Yeah.
Have you had any shows? Have you done any shows?
I've done mad shows, but like, shows don't excite me. Yeah. I'm not a people person. I know I may seem like it, but I'm not a people person. I don't like people. Don't talk to me. Like, I don't know what's your agenda. I don't know if you fake. I don't know none of that. Don't talk to me. Don't say nothing to me. And I know that's not good because you got to network as an artist, but I don't know. And I'm not a fan of rapping live. I hate freestyling. Even though I could do it when I have to, I just don't like rapping live. And I don't know, just all the shows that I've done, it benefited the promoter and not necessarily myself. And my audience, I got outside of those showcases. So it's like, what do I need you for?
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, for?
And then you have the, you know, when you first start as an artist, you get those paid to perform shows. And it's just like, after a while, it's like, what the fuck am I paying for? Like, mm-hmm. What am I paying for? I'm just, I'm helping you reach your goal, but mine is still, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
and so, all the money's coming from you. So it's it's a lose-lose for you almost.
Yeah. Now, I've had, like, Major Stage, shout out to Major Stage. They gave me my very first shows in the beginning. And there were times where I was too broke to cover the rest of the tickets that I didn't sell. So, you know, Miguel, he's the head of that company, he definitely looked out for me and said, yo, you know what, don't even worry about it, like we good, just go perform, do what you got to do, I want to see you shine. So I definitely would never forget that.
Damn, that's cool.
Yeah, man,
it's good to have people like that around.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're all artists are struggling.
Yeah, all, man, artists. And I just felt like a lot of these promoters will get online and they'll be like, oh, all these artists ain't serious about their music, they don't want to invest in themselves. I hate that term with a passion, investing in yourself, because it's like, so you want me to take my last $100 and put it into your show that's only going to have an audience for the headliner, nobody going to stay after they leave, they're going to leave with him. You want me to spend my last $100 to perform for nobody? Mind you, I got two kids at home. I got to buy milk for my little one. I got to fill up my fridge. I got to fucking buy a Metro card for work. Like, you want me to sacrifice all of that to perform in a show that it ain't nobody there? Like, no, it's not about investing in yourself. It's like, I want to be smart. Like, I got a family to take care of. I'm not going to give you my last.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take food out of their mouth to feed your kids. No.
Yeah.
Now, if we can get a bag together, that's even better.
Split
but
it, yeah.
Don't, like, a lot of these promoters, they take advantage of these starving artists, and a lot of these artists don't really, they don't know their worth yet, so they're just like, here, take this money. They don't know yet, you know what I'm saying? And it's unfortunate.
The promoters know that, too.
They take advantage of that shit.
Oh yeah, like, these guys are all desperate to get on that stage, yeah. So they'll
and then they'll tell you, oh, you could open up for, let's say, Dave East. You could open up for Dave East, but you're not really opening up for them, like, they're headlining a show. They're in the VIP section where you can't even get next to them. Like, they're not going to see you
completely
performing.
Completely separate.
They're not going to see you performing. Like, he going to be in the back popping bottles with bitches and shit like that. Like, that's not going to do. And then you got to pay $2,000 to open up for somebody that you can't even get. You can't even be in the same section. Like, you can't even get a picture with. Like, nah, man.
No, that's wild, man. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, it's a lot of things that go into it that, like, people are afraid to talk about. Or, like, don't have a platform to talk about it on, or don't know how to word their frustrations and get it out there. You know what I'm saying?
But, like, they don't know any different. Like, they think, oh, this is how it is, and, you know.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I got to do.
Now, don't get me wrong. For your first couple of shows, you know, if you have to, yeah, like, dish out the money. That is investing in yourself, because you got to see what the atmosphere is like. You got to see what the business is like. You got to
get that experience.
You know what I'm saying? But don't just do it for 10 years, $100 a show, $20, 20 shows a year. Like, that's, man, what? That's a lot of money out of your pocket.
That's wild.
It's crazy, bro.
You thought about selling merch? Just bringing, like, stuff with you to the shows and just kind of making up a little bit of that?
I did have an idea for some merch, but I don't really know how to go about doing that. Like, I've asked a couple of people that got their own clothing line, and I feel like they looked at me as competition, and they didn't even really want to help me. Like, I'm steady asking them questions like, yo, you know, how do I do this? Can you take me to this place? Can you just, you know, because really I wanted to make the clothing line for myself. I wasn't going to sell it. You know what I'm saying? It was just to promote my album. It was going
to
be exclusive.
Just to wear it while you're
promoting the album. Yeah. And then maybe I'll sell maybe 10 exclusive shirts and sweats or something like that. But that's it. And, you know, people just, they did not want to help. You know what I'm saying? But when it's their turn and they need it, they got their hand out. Like, it's no fair exchange here.
That's,
you know,
wild.
What I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
There's a lot of shit going on.
Oh, shout out my brother Kendall, For The Love Clothing. He's definitely my brother. He definitely showed love and tried to, you know, put me on. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, that's awesome, man. I got to get in touch with people that are, like, actually doing their stuff, because I'm selling this kind of stuff now, but
that's
like,
just fire.
It's like on demand printing kind of thing where it's like when people order it, they ship it. But I want to, like, get, like, an actual line where
I can link you all together.
Yeah,
I can link you all up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He definitely a humble dude. I know him pretty. We went to high school together, so pretty much my whole damn life. So I'll definitely link y'all and shit. And maybe when he's out here, y'all could connect here, you know what I'm saying? Because he's definitely doing big things.
Yeah, I got another guy coming on here that has his own clothing line, so I'll probably
that's what's up.
Yeah. I'll probably ask him all the questions,
yeah,
and get all the answers out there. But what else do you do, man? What other What other creative avenues do you have other than music?
Shit, that's about it. Like, yeah. Just different areas of music. That's about it. Like, anything creative outside of music? That's a good question. I have never been asked that before.
Yeah, because usually the music comes from, like, another, like, some sort of creative outlet that you have.
I mean, I used to write stories, like, back in the day. That's what led me into, you know, writing lyrics and stuff. Like, my mom would get me mad back in the day, so I would write a poem dissing her. Like, not disrespectful, but, like, I've told her this before, though, yeah, but, like, I'll write a
just
poem.
Just to get your emotions out, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll go to school. Like, I was a senior at the time, and I'll go to school, and I'll type up something on PowerPoint and then put a little background on it. and then I'll leave it on my bed on purpose so she can see it. Like, it's, nice. Man, it was funny.
what kind of reaction did you get to that?
I think I got kicked out. I don't know. I don't remember. Damn. But she ain't like it.
She didn't like it so much.
Nope. But that I used to draw a lot too. It's funny. Okay. My little brother, TJ Trevor, he's an artist. He like makes his own Dragon Ball Z characters, like his own, you know, characters, and draws them and stuff like that. He's in a graphic design and stuff. And I'm like, let me see if I still got it. And like last week when I was bored at work, I sat down and I drew Vegeta and I sent it to him. Well, I sent it to my mom. And then she's like, damn, you've been drawing this whole time? And I'm like, nah, I haven't drawn in 10 years.
I just picked up a pen.
Yeah, I just picked up the pen. And she's like, damn, you still got it. And I'm like, all right, cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Have you made your own covers yet?
No, I would like to learn. I would like to learn how to do that. I come up with good-ass ideas for covers, though, but... And I end up having to pay somebody else.
Yeah.
It's all good, though. It's all good.
It's funny you say that, man, because that seems to be a recurring theme, is that artists just got to pay for everything themselves.
Yeah. That's why, truth be told, that's why I started making my own beats, because, you know, I don't know if you know, back in the day, I want to say I started 2010, 2011. So back then, before people were searching for their beats on YouTube, it was something called SoundClick.
Okay.
And that's where every artist would get their beats from. That's why, like, if you go on YouTube, back then you would hear a whole bunch of artists on the same fucking beats.
Nice.
And it's just like when you make a fire ass song and then you hear somebody on your beat, it's just like, fuck, man. Like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
Like, and not only that, like, I remember this popular producer, his name was Vibe, I think, or Vibes. And he was like the go-to for hip hop at that time. And he was charging like $250 to lease at the time, like $500 for exclusive, $1,000 for all the MP3 files, WAV files. And then I'm like, yo, I'd be damned if I'm gonna pay another man this much money for something I can learn how to do myself.
Yeah, for something you can do, yeah.
So like I remember it like it was yesterday. Like I wanna say 2010, when my daughter was like 6 months. Her mom is from Guatemala, so we flew to Guatemala and I spent the whole 3 weeks isolated learning how to make beats on FL Studio. And
hell yeah.
And that's it started from there. And then I wanted to give up after a while because I'm like, damn, my beats are not sounding like his or hers or whoever was popular at the time. So there's a producer by the name of Lex Luger. You know who he is?
Lex.
He made I think I'm Big Meech.
Okay.
Larry Hoover, the BMF song from Rick Ross.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did Ham for Jay-Z and Kanye.
Okay.
He would be on YouTube just with, like, so back in that time, the perception was you got to have a big studio, a whole bunch of equipment, a whole bunch of MIDI controllers, drum machines and shit like that to make a fire beat. He was the first person I ever seen that just had a laptop, an aux cord to the speaker, and a mouse. That was it. And he made all of those hits with just that. And when I tell you if I meet him one day, I'm gonna, yo,
you are a god.
You are a god. You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't have to do that. Like a lot of producers, they don't want to show you the secret sauce. They don't want to show you the way to win. You know what I'm saying? Because they see everybody as competition. But Lex Luger, he used to get on live back in the day. He used to post videos on YouTube of the process of him making his beats and shit like that on FL Studio. And it's just like, yo, like it is achievable.
Like I could do that.
Yeah. So I definitely, like, I credit all my, to where I got to now, I credit him and Boy Wonder, because Drake was my idol back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah, so Boy Wonder. I used to love his beats. So definitely Drake and Boy Wonder.
Like, that's cool. Yeah. I like when artists just show their process, man. And I've had a few guests on here say it too, that it's not a competition. There's enough room for everybody.
Yeah, and you're showing somebody else how to, like, you might be showing them a different way that they didn't think of, so that it can make them better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just seen Tory Lanez is one of the biggest artists in the world. I just seen him on his YouTube like 5-6 days in a row, posting videos of him on Twitch, making songs on the spot, showing people how it's done. And he's also one of the ones I looked up to way back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely respect when these artists, you know, get out here and try to show how it's done the real way. You know what I'm saying? Like, not just somebody hitting in a corner and, you know, they filming the artist and, you know what I'm saying, and they put that footage out. Nah, like, he consciously said, yo, I'm going to show y'all how I make a song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I respect that to the fullest.
Yeah, because then it inspires other people, and it's not like they're going to take over your job, obviously. Like, right. You've already made a name for yourself. You're doing this as a living, and it's like you're just showing people how to get to where you are.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's, like I said, it's not a competition, man. It's just...
Unfortunately, but some of them up there still, they be so insecure, where it's like, I ain't...
That's what it is. It's insecurity. Insecurity.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I'm not trying to take your spot, brother. You got it. I just want to show, like, lead me to the water. I'll do whatever I got to do to make more, to figure out how to bring more water to my family and quench their thirst. And then they,
it's like, you know what I'm saying? Something over here. I just need a couple of those ingredients to kind of throw in here. I ain't trying to take over your spot.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not asking for a handout. Show me how to fish. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to feed me. I want you to show me how to feed myself. You know what I'm saying? Or feed myself better than what I'm currently doing.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, yeah.
Yeah, and you always learn, like, little bits and pieces from people here and there. I know I have. Like,
yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, with video, I've kind of gotten some techniques from here, some techniques from here, and then you develop your own voice, your own artistic voice.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to, man, that video stuff is complicated, man. It's too time consuming. Like, I'll send it to you. I have a video called No Bad Energy. That's, like, my last video that I edited, and it looked pretty good, but... It's not my lane.
It's not, like, Blue Box.
It's not Blue Box. It's just not my lane, man.
Hey, everybody has their thing, man. Everybody has their talent, and you know you gotta collaborate, because it's not a one-man show.
Definitely not.
It's definitely not. Yeah, especially in our industry, man, and anything creative, you know, it's. When you can do it on your own, and it's great, but once you mesh, like, two people or three people or four people that know what they're doing, they kind of all throw in their ingredients into the pot. It's wild, man. It's magic.
It's like, I feel like the sky's the limit. Once you got a solid team around you that y'all going the same direction, same trajectory, like...
The same work ethic.
Man. And, like, sometimes you might need your crew to be stronger than you sometimes. Sometimes you might need your crew to pick you up and keep pushing you, you know what I'm saying? And vice versa. I might have to be strong enough to pick them up and push them, you feel me? But that's rare. Like, that's a rare find. Not a lot of people have that. I feel like if more people had that, then more people would be on. But, you know, that's just life.
It's hard to find people that have the same drive that you do.
Yeah.
Especially for what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I know you said you're working on this new project. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, man.
How did that come about?
It's crazy because, you know, shout out to Shaw Major. I met him, I want to say 4 years ago, and, you know, we clicked instantly. And he's a dope producer, you know what I'm saying? He's doing his thing. He's getting big placements right now, like in the Brooklyn Wave. So, you know what I'm saying? He's doing his thing right now. And we actually taught each other a lot of things along the way. Like, I feel like, and he probably say the same thing, like, I feel like had I not met him, and had he not shown me certain things, like, my sound wouldn't be as great as it is now. So I definitely, you know what I'm saying, give him his credit for that. You know what I'm saying? But it started, like, years ago. We would just make beats together. Or I'll be at home, I'll start a sample, and then send him the sample, and he'll do the drums. And then if it come out fire, I'll jump on it. And then I just came up with the idea. Like, this was, like, 2 years ago, probably when I first moved here.
Oh, wow.
I was like, yo, let's be a production duo. Let's call ourselves Major Fury. And then he was like, yo, I'm with it, son. I'm with it. Like, he, you know what I'm saying? So we would do beats together. And then I came up with the idea, like, you know what? Scratch a duo. Let's make this an album. Because he did an album with my other boy. Shout out to Villain. He did something called Major Villain. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was fire. So I'm like, you know what? Major Fairy is going to be the title of my album. So I got like, I want to say 9 songs done, but I want to do at least 20 and then narrow it down to like a solid 15.
That's a good plan, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I got all my pain music out the way. Now it's time to do some street shit. You know what I'm saying? I want to do some street shit for the street, like an anthem or something like that. And then I want to go on to like, I'm not going to say pop, but maybe an R&B topic or two, song or two, you know, and then I'm going to narrow it all down to a solid 15. So, but I'm such a perfectionist. Like, what I would do, right? I'll create 3 songs, right? And then go to the studio, create another 3. And then I'll feel like that new 3 is better than the old 3. And then it'll make me scratch the old 3 and keep these new 3. Okay, this is the beginning of the album. Go to the studio, record another 3. Now I love these 3 and I don't like these 3 anymore. It's a cycle, bro. It's like, it's so hard. But everybody, like, they curse me out. They be like, yo, bro, like, you have to drop the music. Like, people need to hear where you're at right now. And I'm like, if I don't feel comfortable with it, I just don't want to drop it. But sometimes, you know, I'm realizing now it's not always about me. Sometimes it's about the listener. Like, I might have a hit right now that I recorded 5-6 years ago. Actually, I think I have one that I recorded 5-6 years ago, but I didn't put
nobody's
it out.
Ever so heard it. Yeah.
Nobody's ever heard it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to come out. Honestly, I'm trying to come out with 2 albums this year. I wasn't going to tell anybody that, but I'm trying to come out with 2 albums.
First.
Right.
It's exclusive.
So I'm trying to come out with the Major Fairy album by the summertime. And then my birthday, I'm going to drop the Art of Survival 2. So I already got some songs done for the Art of Survival 2 that I have on the side that's going to make the album. Like, I love those songs.
For sure,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's where I'm at with it. And then I'm just working with a bunch of artists right now. I produce for a couple of Florida artists. Like, I'm about to work with a couple of Florida artists. I can't really announce it yet. So, but it's definitely, it's taking a turn. Things are starting to finally, you know, speed up.
Get some momentum. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely fire.
Yeah, man. With going back to the perfectionist thing, I'm the same way, bro. Like, when I do when I do a music video, or when I do, you know, anything, when I even these podcasts, like, I'll look back and I'll go back through it like 30 times just to make sure it's like perfect. But it's like, I had one of my friends tell me that, you know, it'll never be perfect.
Right.
Never. Like, you're always going to find something because you made it, right? You're always going to find the flaws in it.
Right.
And if you just release it as is, people don't even notice, bro. Like,
that's
people,
true.
People don't even know.
That's true.
These little tiny details that you were obsessing over. It's like, just get it out there, bro.
Yo, it beats down to a T. Like, if I put out a song and the whole thing is perfect, but a breath take is in the wrong spot, like, I just will scratch that whole
don't
song. Like, it's, man, it's definitely bad, because sometimes, like, it's good to have those, like, those little minor mistakes in there, because it makes the record more authentic. It's not like rehearsed. It's not, you know, robotic, if that makes any sense.
Shows, like, a human made it, right?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely could. And then even if, like, it's always good. Sometimes it's good to, like, say a line off beat sometimes and then get back on beat in the next line. Like, that shit, it creates a vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it Kodak Black, flow.
Yeah, Kodak Black does it. Meek Mill does it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they mastered that shit. So
yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect. The imperfections are actually part of the process. Yes. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. So what's next for you, dude? After all this stuff is done, like, what's your long term?
My long term
Fury plan.
Next year, I want to get to a space where I can finally, even though I got to work hard, I can finally live off my music instead of having a 9-to-5 and just be able to pay the bills. That's the next level that I want to get to. I want my online presence to get a little bit stronger, which has been getting stronger. So, you know, I just need to up it from there. You know what I'm saying? And
it's about the momentum, man. Once you get that momentum going, you just got to keep going.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Can't fall off.
And I just want to work with as many, not even just Tampa artists. I just want to work with as many, like, artists as I can. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm trying to unify everybody. So, you know, Spam was joking on me the other day. He was like, nigga, you trying to be DJ Khaled? Like, what's wrong with you? Like,
there's nothing wrong with that. Tampa needs a DJ Khaled.
Word. Like, but yeah, man, I just want to unite everybody, put everybody on my production, on Shy's production, like, just, you know what I'm saying? I just want to create timeless music, and I just want everybody that come in contact with me to win, you know what I'm saying? Like, so
that's what it's about, man.
Yeah,
that's what it's about, is a collaboration. I've talked to even Pusha Prem, kind of mentioned that, where I think that what we need in Tampa, or in this area, you know, is unity,
right?
Like the especially the music industry in this area is so spread out.
Yeah, it's divided.
Yeah, it's super divided.
I've seen that when I'm at shows, like, it's just everybody be mean mugging each other. Nobody want to work with each other. But in a sense, that's kind of like how New York is too. Everybody just want to be that go-to guy. Nobody want to, you know, yo, come up here, I got you. We gonna win together. You too, come. We gonna win together. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that crab in a barrel mentality, and it's not good. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with the little things, when it comes to like supporting each other, like sharing music, like people don't want you to shine. Like, they'll do fake shit, like post your shit for 2 seconds and then delete it, like
take it down.
I hate that shit, bro. Like, just don't post it. Like, be straight up and be like, I don't really like that track. I ain't gonna post it because I don't know if it's gonna go, but you know, I'll comment if you want me to, like, you feel me? Like, just be honest, you feel me? You don't gotta be fake, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, shout out to FB Marlowe as well. Like, he's a young up and coming artist. Like, he's with Span the Man and stuff like that, and he's showing me a lot of love too out here. So definitely shout out to him. And yeah, man.
That's cool, man. How did you end up meeting Span the Man?
How did I meet Span the Man? I commented on one of his posts, because it was like one of those, you know, when you could put the audio from Instagram on your post.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was one of those that was like, oh, you know, don't try to reach out now that you see me winning. Like, it was one of those.
Gotcha.
And then I commented on it. And
like,
then
I'm reaching out.
Yeah, no, I just commented on like real shit. And then he responded back. And then that prompted me to look at his story. And then he had a song up with him and FB Marlowe. I forgot what the name of it was. But no, he had my favorite song. It's called My Purpose. He had My Purpose in the story. And I'm like, yo, that's you? And then he was like, yeah, man. And then from there, we just connected. And
clicked, yeah.
It was genuine. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's definitely family.
Yeah, I'm glad he brought you.
Yeah. I appreciate him for that, because he didn't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had just met that day for the first time. Like, we were in contact.
He was telling me, like, yeah, I just met the dude.
Yeah. But, like, you know, I told him what gravitated me towards him is that, like, he reminds me of myself when I was 23. He's just way better at rapping than I was at 23.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like, he has it figured out. You know what I'm saying? And this is a different time, so it might be a little easier for him. But, like, yeah, I told him, like, everything that he talks about is exactly what I used to talk about at that time. You know what I'm saying? So I always, you know, yeah, it resonated with me. So I always, like, you know, give him his flowers.
It's good that you guys are working together now.
Yeah, we got I got him on a New York drill beat too. It's crazy. Me and Sha made it too.
Nice.
I'm trying to get him. Well, I have him on it. I'm trying to get my boy Chubby Moolah. He's from the Bronx, Rhode Island, I think. Either the Bronx or Rhode Island. I'm trying to get my cousin Jeremy on it. He's from Chicago, Midwest, Wisconsin. And then I'm trying to get Villain. He's from Brooklyn. So I'm trying to have like a different elements
Hell
to the song.
Yeah.
And then I want to take it a step further. And if I can get these guys to Chicago or the Bronx and we do a video, man.
Oof.
But that's when Span was like, man, you trying to be DJ Khaled, man? Get out of here.
Take that as a compliment, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Anything else you want to talk about? Anybody else you want to shout out?
Yeah, I could shout out a few people. Like, shout out my boy Maury Hayes. He's one of the, me and him grew up together. We both from Crotona and shit. And he was one of the, him, Clyde the General, Prospect Pins. These are all Bronx guys. These were the first dudes that, and Leader. Shout out to Leader. These four were the first dudes from my hood before I was even rapping that I seen like doing it at a higher level. Like, this was like, I want to say 2006, 2007. Like, I used to be a delivery boy for the neighborhood. That's how everybody knows me. Like,
nice.
I used to deliver everybody's groceries and shit. And I would be walking and I would see these dudes just in ciphers and see them just, you know, doing their music videos and shit like that, like in the streets, you know what I'm saying?
Just out, yeah.
And I'm like, I have to walk past all these dudes. Like, I used to have to walk past all these dudes. Like, I hope they don't try me. Like, let me just mind my business. No, I'm joking. But, yeah, these were the first dudes that I seen doing it, like, and they inspire me on a major level. And I just so happen to be blessed to have been able to work with two of them. The other two, I'm trying to work with them one day. You know what I'm saying? Like, but shout out my boy, Shy Major, of course. Shout out my boy, King Judah. King Judah, he from Harlem and Brooklyn and shit. He's nice too. Me and him are going to be working together. Who else? I can't think of nobody right now. Forgive me. It's not on purpose.
Man, you going national.
Shout out my boys to my boy Sleek the Rapper. That's my guy right there. Me and him did some music together. Me and him supposed to work together. Shout out my boy Supreme Truth from Edenwald. Me and him are supposed to be working together. I think that's it for now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have some more people to shout out when I come back, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man. We're going to have you back to do an update yeah, episode, man. When the album drops.
Yeah, that would be dope, man. Yeah. That would be dope.
Well, this one's going to drop in a few weeks, so hopefully, hopefully you'll have your project out by then. So
hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. That would be fire.
Yeah. We can use this to kind of promote it. Where can everybody find your stuff, man?
At Alonzo Fury Official Everything or Alonzo Fury, you know, that's it. I don't have anything on streaming platforms yet, but I will. It's coming. Bear with me.
Nice. Yeah. Where'd the name come from? Is that your actual name?
So I paid homage to my dad. So my full name is Aries Alonzo Burrell. He named me after his zodiac sign. His first name is Alonzo, which is my middle name, and Burrell is his last name. So Alonzo comes from obviously my middle name, and then the Fury is short for Furious Styles. He's the father from, I don't know if you ever seen Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
Furious Styles is the father from Boys in the Hood, and when I was a kid, every time I would watch that movie, it would remind me of my dad, because if you were to meet my dad, like, that's like, if he had a movie character, it would be him. Like, they don't look nothing alike, but they talk and act the same way. You know what I'm saying? So
that's cool.
I just took the Fury from Furious Styles and Alonzo and just put it together and kind of just paid respect to him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
respect, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, thanks again for coming on, man. Telling your story. You're welcome back anytime.
I appreciate that,
whenever you drop your stuff, just come back and we'll chop it up, man. We'll have Span the Man in here with us.
Yeah. That would be fire. You got to get FB Marlo up here, too. He's a man. That kid is something. He's something special. I ain't even going to lie.
Yeah,
he's,
bro. Send him my dope. Way.
I will.
Send him my way. Yeah, I'm actually kind of putting a stop to like the Instagram people coming to me. So now it's more like referrals. Like,
right,
the people that have already been here kind of, oh yeah, you got to get on here, you got to get on here, that kind of stuff. So
that makes sense.
Yeah man, so that way, you know, it's more of a community than just,
yeah, you can't be too accessible,
because
it's like, I ain't gonna say it brings the value down, but it's just like,
it does a little bit.
It does. Like, I ain't want to say that, but you
yeah,
know
it does a little bit. Yeah. It kind of damages the brand a little bit, but yeah man, I've had nothing but gold so far, and I appreciate you guys coming on, telling your story. Yeah,
appreciate you for having us, man.
If
for
I
real.
Can have you just say shout out to Blue Box real quick.
Oh yeah, of course. All right, this is Alonzo Fury tuning in with Blue Box Digital. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Do it again one more time.
Nah, you're good, bro. Okay. <That's> good. But thanks again, man. And for us, it's Blue Box Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok, where we post highlights from the podcast on there. If you don't have time to watch the whole thing, just head over there, and we got some consumable content for you. We're on YouTube, youtube.blueboxdigital.com. We're going to post all the video versions of the podcast on there, as well as other, you know, behind the scenes and a bunch of other content on there. One last thing before we go, we actually just launched the Blue Box Shop. So if you want to sport the Blue Box like me. We got hats, we got shirts, we got all kinds of stuff on there. So if you want to support the show and you know, kind of keep this going, head over to shop.blueboxdigital.com and grab your swag there. And other than that, man, that was it. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you guys for watching. And we'll see you guys next time.